And the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues, as it were fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with diverse tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the words which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your mind. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. From the birth of Christ to the present day, my dear faithful, the world has hated our Lord and his church. One of the principal weapons the enemies of Christ and his church used to attack was and is to spread falsehood. For example, at our Lord's trial, the Pharisees testified that Christ led the people into rebellion. A century later, the Roman Emperor Nero, without any evidence, blamed the Christians for the great fire in Rome that destroyed much of that city. By these lies, these enemies of Christ and the church turn the ordinary person against the faith. In the last few centuries, it is no different, as I experienced myself at one of our chapels. You see, I was working outside the chapel when an elderly man came up to me off the sidewalk. He was a Protestant, and I soon found that he was angry at the Catholic Church, most especially that the Catholic Church had the Spanish Inquisition. He told me, as he had been told and so many believe, of all the people the Inquisition imprisoned in the most terrible prisons, tortured them in the most diabolical ways, and put so many millions of people to death. It seems that divine providence had prepared me for this, because just a week before, in church history class at the seminary, we had watched a video put out by the BBC in 1994. The video's name is The Myth of the Spanish Inquisition. In this video, the BBC reported that the archives of the Inquisition had just been opened to the public. These were whole libraries of the minute-by-minute transcripts of the court cases held by the Inquisition. It had the details of what actually happened. Researchers pored through these accounts, expecting to find frightening, bloody tales. But what they actually found was the complete opposite. They found the Spanish Inquisition was actually one of the most benign courts of law at that time. But first, we must know what the Spanish Inquisition was. It was a tribunal set up in Spain to discover and punish false converts to Christianity. You see, at that time, there were many heretics and false converts to the faith in Spain, especially among the Jews. These enemies of the church pretended to be Catholic in order to undermine the church and Spain from within. They secretly corrupted the faith of whomever they could, while also supporting the invading Muslims with money, information, and even traitorous help in battle. Of course, this wasn't all converts or Jews. And so the Inquisition was established to seek out the traitors amongst them in order to protect the faith, Spain, and the true converts and Jews. Yes, torture was used, but only in a very limited and controlled manner. It is important to remember that the use of torture, as distasteful it may be to us, was very common at that time, universal, in fact. Keeping that in mind, the Spanish Inquisition is remarkable because, as the BBC discovered in the Inquisition's archives, the Inquisition used torture on about 2% of all those brought to trial. That is, 2 out of every 100 suffered torture. And at each one, as the Inquisition's law commanded, a doctor and a priest had to be present to ensure that the prisoner would not be in danger of any great harm. But what about the millions of people that the Spanish Inquisition supposedly put to death? The truth of the matter is that over the entire 350-year history of the Spanish Inquisition, between 3 to 5,000 people were put to death for the charge of heresy. Compare that to King Henry VIII, who in his reign of 38 years had 72,000 Catholics put to death. In 1/10 the time, Henry VIII put to death over 14 times as many Catholics as the Spanish Inquisition put heretics and traitors to death. How did history become so distorted? The BBC tells us that it was the Protestants who simply made up these stories in order to attack Spain, the most Catholic country at that time. What an incredible lie this is, but you will find it everywhere, even your local school's textbook. Yet this is just one example of the many attacks on the Catholic Church that are so common today. Others include the falsehoods spread about the supposedly unjust crusades, having been waged on the innocent Muslims, as well as the maltreatment of the American Indians by the church. In the moral realm, these attacks include the church's condemnation of abortion, divorce, unnatural vice. These are ridiculed as backwards and medieval notions. All of these attacks upon the church have made our modern world anti-Catholic. What we need today, my dear faithful, is another Pentecost. For on Pentecost, the apostles were unable to overcome the falsehoods against Christ. Picture what happened that day as we read the epistle of today's Mass. We see the apostles in the cenacle, the very place where our Lord said the first Mass. They are quiet, they are prayerful, but they are also very afraid. They are in the cenacle because they are hiding from the Pharisees, fearful of their wrath. The apostles didn't have our Lord there to guide and protect them anymore. He had ascended to heaven, and now they felt so alone. Suddenly then, the sound of a great wind roars throughout the room. Then tongues of fire descend upon each of them. What an amazing sight. But that is nothing compared to what was happening inside the apostles. These weak, scared, ignorant men were lit on fire with grace. Their minds were enlightened with the truths of the faith. They clearly saw and understood all the dogmas and moral teachings of Christ. Their hearts were strengthened and their fear was gone. They could face any enemy, even death itself, without flinching, for the cause of Christ. Finally, and most important of all, the apostles burned with zeal. They were ablaze with an all-consuming love for God and for souls. This was the fire that really made them apostles. This is what drove them to go throughout the world in the search for souls. And what wonders they worked. On that very first day when they walked out of the cenacle, St. Peter delivered his first sermon, and he converted 3,000 men. 3,000 souls were converted to the faith by one sermon. I wish I could do that. And this was a hostile crowd he spoke to. If the Jews knew anything of Jesus Christ before that moment, they thought of him as a malefactor, a man shamefully condemned to death. They would have believed the lies of the Pharisees. But by St. Peter's sermon alone, these Jews were converted to be among the first Catholics. How did this happen? This was the fulfillment of our Lord's prophecy, the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. The Holy Ghost enlightened the minds and strengthened the wills of the apostles. He set them on fire with love for God and for souls. He changed these weak men into the saintly, courageous apostles, overflowing with grace and power. So the Holy Ghost did for the apostles, and so he has continued to do for the church throughout the past 2,000 years. The Holy Ghost has continued enlightening, strengthening, and inflaming the faithful. the martyrs, missionaries, the saintly men and women, whether religious, single, or married, throughout the church's history, see in them the influence of the Holy Ghost. We need the same, my dear faithful. We need the Holy Ghost to enlighten, strengthen, and set us ablaze, because we too live in a world hostile to the faith. And he is already right with you. For the Holy Ghost dwells in all those who are in the state of grace. He is there because he gives us the grace we need to live our faith. As the Spirit of truth, he enlightens the minds of the faithful, teaching us the truths of the faith. He also reveals to us how we are to defend our beliefs. What to say when someone attacks, when to say it, and how to say it. For example, the belligerents who are just looking for a fight, they do not deserve an answer because they are not looking for one. The best response to this type is a silent prayer for their salvation. On the other hand, those who are genuinely confused and led astray by the common falsehoods about the church and the faith, these are people who need help to be pointed in the right direction. But human nature often shrinks from this type of conflict and fears being regarded as backward-minded. That is when we need the Holy Ghost to strengthen our woes, to give us the courage and fortitude not only to live virtuously, but also to overcome the fear of making a public stand. Yet most of all, the Holy Ghost sets our soul aflame with charity. By his grace, we love God above all things, and love souls for the sake of God. This enables us to control ourselves when we are defending our faith. Remember, my dear faithful, love the soul of the person before you. He is confused, often ignorant, and has been taught so many lies about the faith. Do not grow angry with him. Be calm and charitable. Argue for the faith for the sake of saving that soul, not so that you appear right. Let the Holy Ghost guide you, my dear faithful, by praying to him. Pray to him daily to aid you. You can use even just the short prayer, "Come, Holy Ghost." Ask this divine guide to come to you and safeguard your faith from the modern world's attacks upon it. But that does not mean you don't need to do your part by studying your faith. Take the means to learn it better. Read about your faith. Yes, take up the catechism from when you were a child. The Catechism is a beautiful little summary of the faith and contains a wealth of knowledge that you may have forgotten or need a reminder of. But pray to the Holy Ghost, especially when you meet difficulties, trials, and sorrows. He will guide you in what to do, strengthen you to bear it, and inflame your charity for you to accept the sufferings it causes for love of God and the redemption of souls. How much we need the grace of the Holy Ghost today. So, my dear faithful, have a devotion to him. He is the divine gift God has given. In order to protect us today when our faith is under attack. But if we refuse his help, he, of course, cannot help us. If, on the other hand, we turn to him and ask. The Paraclete, this Comforter, will teach you all things and bring all things to your mind. He will enlighten your mind, strengthen your will, and inflame you with love for God. Give him your whole self, and you will become as invincible as the apostles, even in our modern anti-Catholic age. Pray to the Holy Ghost devoutly and daily, my dear faithful, so that you save your soul, please God, and help others save theirs. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.